Good morning. Today we are going to read from Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 19. When I was reading through this passage again this morning, I couldn't help reflecting on the fact that I've got a son who was a similar age as Isaac, and how much we prayed and fasted for him. So you can join me. Chapter 1, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am." He replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba.
Lovely to be here with you all today. And I thought I'd just give a bit of an update, like I do, about the work on the ships. I think most of you know I'm the port chaplain at Portbury Navemouth Docks in Bristol. So I go on the ships to really help and support the merchant seafarers there. And it's been quite busy recently, which is wonderful. You know, plenty to do. And I thought I'd particularly mention one of the ships that was in just recently, a bulker. So it's a big ship carrying animal feed. And the ship was detained by the Maritime Coast Guard Agency because of late payment of wages. The seafarers had flagged it up with us, and then we contact the MCA, and they went on and to sort it out. So the ship is detained, and then they found out there were lots of other problems on the ship. So it stayed in for over a week. So I visited them every day, which was lovely. So the sort of things that I did for them is I gave them free SIM cards for their phones. So, you know, that's top of the list of what they want. So they're very pleased with that. And then I gave them chocolate. In fact, at Union Chapel, I went speaking at recently on the afternoon meeting. So like the kind of seniors group. And I came on my motorbike there, actually. And fortunately, I had a top box on the back. And they gave me loads of chocolate. Filled up the top box with chocolate. But it was lovely because on this ship that was in detained in Portbury, I was able to give them chocolate. So that went down really well. And then from there, was able to, got funding from somewhere else, supply them with £100 worth of toiletries. So like shampoo, toothpaste and stuff like that, because they'd had an issue with wages. So they were really blessed with all these things. And I brought on, of course, the woolly hats and stuff like that. And so each day I went to see them. But they were often very busy because they had to do training for like fire training. So if the ship's on fire, how do you deal with it? And the UK sent a couple of guys who would train them in all of those things. And they said I could stay and watch while they went through all of that. And that was quite interesting because they obviously did need training. And because the ship would have burnt down if they didn't have the training. So that was good to follow them and that. But they were very conscious that they were always quite busy. And it was lovely sort of near the end of their time that they were there. They contacted me. Well, actually, when I was on the ship, and they said, is it possible that you could come and do a Bible study with us? I thought, yes. And so I came in on a Sunday. I thought I had a Sunday off, actually. Wasn't doing any preaching, but God gave me a Sunday off because he had something else for me to do. So I went in on the ship on a Sunday afternoon and sat round a table in the mess room and had about 11 of the crew in there. And I just opened up the Bible and, you know, shared something about Jesus calming the storm. I thought it was quite applicable. And it was a real blessing. And on that ship, quite a few of the crew asked for Bibles, which was lovely as well. So I had a real quality time with them, and they sent me some lovely messages when the ship had sailed off up the Bristol Channel. So that was quite encouraging. And another ship that was in Avonmouth, which I've been spending quite a bit of time with, they're still there at the moment. They've also been asking for Bibles. And it's lovely that a church in Cromhall, which is South Gloucestershire that I go to, they gave me a large box of Gideon Bibles. Because it's no longer Gideon's, it's good news for everyone. So they got these Gideon Bibles, brand new, and they said, would you like them? I said, not half. So I was able to give some of these Bibles out, and they wanted me to write something in the inside cover for them. So there's lots of these kind of things going on, but I may have shared with you before that I'm particularly looking for what I call divine appointments. That's where the Lord leads me to talk to crew who he specifically wants me to share something of the good news of the gospel. And over the particularly course of the pandemic, a lot of those opportunities weren't possible to happen. But now it's coming all back again. And it's absolutely lovely to share. And on that weekend that I went in to do the Bible study, on the Saturday, another seafarer that I've had contact at least once a month for the last 5 years, because this ship comes in, who really is, well, I would say he's born again, really found Christ in a real exciting way. He does a little Bible study on this ship with anybody who wants to come along. And so I met him on the Saturday in the Seafarer Centre, and just to pray for him and encourage him as he seeks to encourage others. And it's just wonderful to see what God is doing amongst these seafarers. But I'm convinced it's the power of God at work, because I'm not doing anything really different. But I'm asking God, you know, these seafarers coming in, help me to bring that good news to them. Help me to, you know, show them the importance of Christ, the sovereignty of Christ, and how having that personal relationship with him would change their lives. And in this one seafarer, he's got it. You know, he understands what it means to walk with Jesus. And he's the best person, really, to share with his colleagues, you know, what that means. So keep praying. It's really good. It's quite exciting, very busy. And I value your prayers. So it's absolutely wonderful. Now, the word. I've got to get on with it. I'm going to be looking at that clock. Oh, dear. What time are we actually stopping? Is it 1:45? Where am I looking at, Chris? Something like that, yeah. Well, this morning when I got up, I was up early, and I thought I'd just watch a little bit of the news, because I'm praying into what's going on in Israel and Gaza. Very much into, you know, to that, because God is involved, and he needs to be involved. So I thought I'd switch on the news, but our own news is a bit rubbish when it comes to anything to do with Israel and stuff like that. So I like to go on YouTube and kind of source some of the, well, often it's America, really, but some other news to get what was going on. And it was helpful because they list different things that you can pray about. But so I go on YouTube, and I don't know if you've ever been online, but it kind of, when you kind of click on YouTube, it's got like a screenshot of all the different things, the videos you can look at, you see. And right in front of me, as I switched it on, there was this kind of screenshot. It said, God is testing you because he is preparing you for something better. And I thought, wow, that really fits in for today, you know. And it says, God's urgent message. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, because that really kind of feeds in quite well to what we're actually looking at today with this story of Abraham and Isaac. I'll say it again, God is testing you because he is preparing you for something better. And I think you need to keep that always in mind, particularly if you feel you're going through a time of testing. I tend to find this story with Abraham and Isaac, you know, a little bit difficult, really, because it kind of talks about it in a matter of fact way. And I've got kids, I'm sure most of you have got kids, and I can't think of anything worse that God could ask me to do than to sort of offer one of your children as a sacrifice. So, affects me in a way, you know, because a lot of things I think, yeah, I'll do that, Lord, you know, count me in. But when it comes to anything to do with my kids, it's quite difficult, it's quite challenging. I'll you know, be quite honest about that. And also in the story, I kind of would like to know a bit more about the discussion that Abraham would have had with Isaac. You know, what would it been like? Isaac says, Dad, we got the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And imagine Abraham going, yes, about that. You know, what actually went on? Because it doesn't really say exactly those discussions. And then, I can imagine, because it just goes, it jumps forward to Abraham tying up Isaac. Nothing said, but, you know, sort of Abraham saying, look, you know, Isaac, can you just put your finger there while I just tie that knot, you know? What were they actually saying? You know, it'd be very interesting. And then, praise God, God provides the sacrifice, the ram, you know. So that happens and they're on their way back. And, you know, what were they talking about then? You know, Abraham going, phew, that was fortunate, wasn't it? And Isaac saying, yes. I'm just very interested in all of those as well, but all those discussions that could have happened. But the story covers a number of important points, really, which includes God's testing his children, faith, obedience, God's provision, and a willing heart. And also it mirrors the gospel where God gave his only son, Jesus, as a redemptive sacrifice for the sins of the world. So it is a wonderful story, and I particularly rejoice over Abraham and that willingness to do whatever God asked him to do. It's absolutely amazing. And in fact, it starts off in verse 1 where God says, calls out Abraham. And Abraham says, here I am. And that's actually mentioned a number of times in the Bible where the person says, here I am. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, one of my favorite passages, when God looks for somebody he can use to go out and proclaim his message, Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Abraham says, here am I. Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Both of them are showing a willingness and a commitment to action. In saying that, here I am, is actually a willingness for action and a willing heart. And I think right at the beginning, this sort of sets Abraham apart, really, that Abraham is willing and ready to do whatever God wants him to do. And it's no wonder God used him in such a powerful way. And though I kind of look up to people like Abraham, I do in my own life try and push myself to, you know, to be more committed to Jesus. You know, what do you want me to do? Here I am, send me. All believers face similar temptations to sin. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So we face similar temptations, but not all believers face the same trials of faith. God's testing, his testings are tailor-made for each of us and quite unique. So whatever, you know, God wants to do in our life is quite unique to us as individuals, which is quite interesting. For instance, God never told Lot to go and do the same things that Abraham did. He never tested Lot in the same way. And that's probably because Lot wasn't as spiritually mature as Abraham was, because Lot was still being tempted by the flesh in the world. So we're all in kind of different places, and God will tailor make his testings for us in a very unique way. But in a way, God telling Abraham to sacrifice his only son was probably an insight to how highly God valued Abraham. You know, to ask for such a thing, you know, God obviously had a high regard for Abraham. And he wanted to, in a way, he wanted to promote Abraham in the great school of faith. He wanted to take Abraham to another level of faith and trust in God. God never sends a test to any one of us that he doesn't think that we're ready for. And that's that, you know, we need to know that. And I mean, at times I think, God, this is too much. But actually, when I look back over my life, I think I can see how God was testing me and you know, helping me to grow and to mature in my faith and also to fulfill his plans and purposes. I didn't think I was ready for it, but God did. And when I look back on it, I think I'm glad he did what he did. So God only tests us when he thinks we're ready to, you know, to move on in our walk with him. And obviously, God felt that Abraham was ready. We all Christians face trials and tests of faith. And it really, it kind of proves our faith and it purifies our faith. And it helps us to mature. And ultimately, it will help us to bring glory to God. But as I think about this story and, you know, when we go through hardships, now in recent times I spoke a lot about suffering and doubts and stuff like that. And I increasingly feel that God wants us to focus on his promises and not try to find explanations to what is going on. You know, because often when something, you know, we're going through difficult times, we say, why? Why me? Why am I going through this? And we spend all our time and our energies trying to find answers from God. And actually, I feel increasingly that God wants us to focus on his promises. And what God asked of Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice seems so unreasonable. I mean, Isaac was Abraham's only son, and the future of God's covenant rested on him. Just seemed ridiculous to ask him to do such a thing. Abraham and Sarah loved Isaac, and their whole kind of future in their lives revolved around Isaac. And God was asking or telling Abraham to kind of wipe out all of that, all their kind of hopes and dreams that they had in Isaac. And it just seemed absolutely ridiculous. But Abraham believed in God and didn't hesitate to obey him. I think absolutely amazing what, you know, that level of faith and trust that Abraham had in God. He believed and he obeyed when he didn't know where, when he did not know when he did not know how, and when he did not know why. He just put his faith and his trust in God, that God knew what he was doing. Abraham believed in God's provision. Again, it's faith rests on God's promises and not on explanations. And I'm trying to kind of teach myself this because I'm like everybody else. Why are you doing this? What's this about? And rather than, you know, what has God promised? You know, keep my eyes. I mean, we were even just saying this morning, fix your eyes upon Jesus. And you know, that is so important. God made promises to Abraham. In Genesis 21, verse 12, he says to Abraham, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. And that's to do with Hagar and Ishmael. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So, you know, Abraham believed in this. You know, through Isaac, there was going to bring forth, God was going to bring forth a nation. So when God said, you know, about offering Isaac as a sacrifice, I'm sure Abraham couldn't get his head round it. You know, what was all that about? But he trusted in God. And that's a challenge to each one of us. Because things go on in our lives that are incredibly difficult at times. And it just doesn't make sense what you're going through. And for Abraham, it made no sense, you know, that God's asking him to sacrifice his son when he's told him that through Isaac, God would bring forth a nation. But the important thing is that Abraham trusted in God's provision. He trusted that God knew what he was doing. And God makes wonderful promises to those of us who believe in him through Jesus Christ. Wonderful promises. You know, the classic one, never will I leave you or forsake you. And, you know, how many times have we felt, particularly when we've been in a dark period of time, God, where are you? Don't you care? And that sort of sense of doubt and bewilderment of what is going on. God does love us. He does care about us, and he has a plan and a future for each of us who've given our lives to him. And God believed in God's promise that through Isaac, God would bring forth a nation. So God's then brings that wonderful provision. Right on time, God brings the ram that was needed for the sacrifice. Interestingly enough, the one ram, he didn't say, where's old flock? take your pick. You know, God only needed to provide what was needed. The one ram, that was enough. And I know for each of our lives, God provides us exactly what we need at the right time. When I look back over my life, I can say, yes, he does. At the time, you think, I could do it a bit more, God. You know, I need more provision. But actually, God knows what we need, and he gives the right amount at the right time. God also has provided his son, Jesus Christ, for each of us. And again, I'm glad today that we focused again, that it's Jesus who we fix our eyes upon. I know we often go on about it, but he is the one that makes the difference. If you've got Jesus in your life, if he's your Lord and Savior, then we've got that wonderful hope for the future through him. And, you know, with what's going on in the world at the moment, I'm so glad that Jesus is in charge. Jesus knows what he's doing. I'm fixing his eyes upon him. And I know, you know, people can become quite scared and anxious, but God knows what he's doing. He's already seen the end, you know, and he's got it covered. We just come to him, give our lives to him. He is our hope. And God will provide what we need, each one of us, at the right time. If we give our lives to him, he will provide the things that we need. And time again, I've seen that happen. You know, recently, I think I shared with you, down at the port, I'm with the Sailor Society as a chaplain. I'm also a county as evangelist, but Sailor Society were the ones that enabled me to operate in the port. And then they turned around and said, we're having no more chaplains anymore. We're just doing online chaplaincy. That would have stopped me operating in the port. What was I going to do? Now, in the past, I would have panicked. And, you know, I would have been stressed out. But over the years, God has shown time and time again, he knows what he's doing. And I'm finally getting it, you know. And I just turned to him in prayer and just said, Lord, you've called me to stay here at the port. What am I going to do? I need that covering within the port. And God provided another charity called QVSR, who actually were running the Seafair Centre at the time. Didn't have any chaplains. And they kindly said, yeah, we want you to be our chaplain. And, you know, I never missed a beat in my ship visiting and all that I was doing there. God had it planned. In fact, he had it planned last year when he brought in QVSR. And I at the time said, I don't know who these people are and what the significance are they. You know, they don't spoil things here. And actually God already, because he knew what was coming the next year. There it was, sorted. But God does this for all of his children. I'm nobody special. I'm just one of God's children. And he looks after his children. So there may be people here today, you know, who are anxious and fretting about things, you know. Give it to God. He loves you and he provides what you need. Ultimately, the big one is he's provided his son, Jesus. The longer I've been a Christian, which is most of my life now, I'm just so glad that God gave his son Jesus Christ, his only son. And he didn't stay his hand in that particular case, that Jesus gave his life on the cross, but praise God, rose again 3 days later. And for those who belong to him now, we will also rise to be with him. God gave his son. But in Abraham's case, he stayed his hand and he provided that ram, which is absolutely wonderful. But when it comes to testing, you know, when you look at Abraham and Isaac, and you, oh my word, you know, I don't think God's ever going to ask anybody to do anything like that again. But God does take us through things. So sometimes you think, God, oh, yeah, this is too much. I remember some years ago, many years ago, no, it must be, I don't know, about 20 years ago, I went through a period in my life where everything seemed to go against me. Out of the blue, I had difficulties in my marriage, which I did, you know, it's just like, where does this come from? You know, so I had that, and that was bad enough on his own to deal with. And then I had problems in the church, you know, a church that I've been to all my life. And everything was coming at me at once from all directions. And I didn't feel very spiritual or anything like that. And I felt quite desperate, really. But I remember getting on my knees in the bedroom and just said, it all belongs to you, Jesus. You know, I'm yours and you are mine. I didn't feel spiritual. I didn't have an audience. Sort of, well done, Steve, or anything like that. I was desperate. And I just said, Lord, as long as I got you, you know, I give my life to you again. But I need you. Help me. And at the time, it was a mess, an absolute mess. And I couldn't see how, you know, what direction I was going to go in. But looking back, I felt God in heaven rejoice, because it was like an Abraham and Isaac moment, really. You know, it was all his, you know, and I didn't know where it was going to go. But God really did something in my life. And praise God, I'm in a much better place, you know, much better place. And it's such a blessing. But I had to, God, for whatever reason, wanted to take my walk with him up another notch, you know, and it was real. It's like where the rubber hits the tarmac. And so I think we all go through things at times where you forget about all the kind of churchy things we're doing, you know, it's where things where get really difficult and you have to decide, Jesus, I trust in you. I can't see the way ahead. I know what's going on. I don't like it, but I trust in you. My confidence is in you. But get me through this quick, please, and get me out the other side. Trials help us to kind of build us up. You know, trials are not there to pull us down. They're to build us up and strengthen us. Focusing on God's promises and not on the why. Why me? Why is this happening? But what God has promised to each of his children. And they will ultimately bring us to a better understanding of God's great love for us. You know, it sharpens us. It strengthens us. It brings us to a better understanding of God's love for us. And also, it fulfills God's plans and purposes in each of our lives. I don't want to say any more about Isaac and Noah, but just to encourage you again that, yes, we all face trials. We all face trials. But God brings trials because he thinks we're ready for it. And he wants to take us on in our faith. And we'll have a better understanding. And it glorifies God. It makes us better Christians and better followers of Christ. So, be encouraged. Particularly if you feel at the moment that maybe God's taking you through something, it's because he values you. He thinks a lot of you, and maybe he thinks you're ready to just go through that. But God will provide what you need at that, you know, at that moment in time. God will provide the things that you need to get you through those testing times. You're not on your own. Let me just close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for Abraham and that wonderful faith where he said, here I am, I'm ready, bring it on. I trust in you. My eyes are fixed on you. Lord, what a wonderful example of faith and trust. Lord, most of us don't think we're anything like Abraham, but you love us the same. You value us the same, Lord. And I particularly pray today if anybody is going through what they feel is testing times, will you provide what is needed? Will you encourage? Will you strengthen and kind of prove that faith in a wonderful way, Lord? And may you be glorified in each of our lives. In your precious name. Amen.